If you listen closely, you'll hear the angels singing. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to all of goodwill. You'll be with the shepherds at Bethlehem, whose hearts were opened up and heard the words from the angel. Today, there is great news for humanity. In the town of David, a Saviour has been born, and he is Christ the Lord. My dear brothers and sisters, how wonderful it is that we know this good news. Of course, many of our contemporaries have been moving towards Christmas under the commercial drive, the jingle in the till has been important for many. And for others, of course, it's been the jingle bells that's been really important. And the tinsel on the tree and all that, of course, is all part of this Christmas celebration. But if we're just caught up in the tinsel and the jingle bells and the commercial thing, then, of course, we haven't yet come to the reason for the season. And his name is Jesus. That's why we gather. That's why we celebrate. And we dwell upon this beautiful mystery. You see, in all the religions of the world down through the ages, there have been men and women with their arms outstretched towards God, crying out to him for one thing or another, or seeking to appease his supposed anger or whatever it is for their sacrifices. There are all sorts of quests to find God. And everyone seeking God, it's a very human thing to do, to seek God, even though in our contemporary age people tend to forget it. But deep in the human heart there's a longing for God. But there's only one religion that proclaims decisively and with total conviction that God has come to us. I used to like that song. Excuse me for singing it. You did not wait for me to come to you, but you've clothed yourself in frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me, and I'm forever grateful to you. Remember that song? I'm forever grateful for the cross. I thought you were all charismatics. It goes back, you see, I'm a charismatic dinosaur. But it's true, it's really from my heart, you know, that he did not wait for me to come to him. I couldn't come to him as much as I tried. Neither could you. Neither can anyone in the human race have come to him, because our sin prevented us from doing it. But Lord, you came to us. And what a coming! What a wonderful coming! He clothed himself in frail humanity. He took on our human flesh so that God became one of us. And now one of us is God. How wonderful is this beautiful exchange. It's all God's grace. And this is the first thing you must know. The fundamental gift of faith. When we really have faith, is that we know it all comes from God. Everything is his gift. And he has come as gift himself to share his very life with us by becoming one of us. You know, in the Mass, each time the priest puts the water in the wine, he says words like this: through the mingling of this water and wine, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity. He humbled himself to share in our humanity so he could draw us into life with God forever. This is wonderful news. This is what all of the people of the world need to know, because it settles your heart, and that quest that's deep within for the ultimate is now finding its fulfillment in Jesus, the answer to all the deepest longings of the human heart. Jesus, the one whose name, Joshua, means Savior, that all that we longed for and cried out for from deep within ourselves is fulfilled in him, our Savior, the Christ, whose birth we celebrate today. It's important, isn't it, to know that it's grace. You see, at this very moment, the Lord is knocking on the door of your heart. At this very moment. And we as a whole church have been during Advent season waiting and longing for the coming. And now we celebrate the very reality of his coming. That he's knocking on the door of our hearts and saying, open. Open. And he breaks into our lives. I have in my mind that beautiful prayer of St. Augustine as he gives his confession of faith after having been converted at the age of 33. He says to God, late have I loved you, O beauty so ancient and so new. Late have I loved you. Because you see, he'd been seeking in this philosophy and this sort of particular way of life, all sorts of things that were available like a smorgasbord today too. He'd been seeking all these things. He says, late have I loved you. I came late on the scene, as it were. For him it was at the age of 33. And then he goes on to say, God, you were within me, but I was outside. And I fell on the lovely things of your creation. But they wouldn't have had existence if they hadn't been held in existence by you. But I didn't know this and didn't realize this. You were within me, and I did not know you, he says. And then he says, but you cried out to me, you called to me, and you broke through my deafness. And you shone the light of your beams of love and overcame my blindness. And you breathed into me your life. And now I long for you. Now I burn for you, he says. My dear friends, may that be the truth of us this Christmas as we celebrate the coming of Jesus. May he come right into our hearts. May he light up our hearts and give us that deep experience of burning with love that only can come from God, which will then overflow into love for one another. It's a beautiful season, isn't it, of being together with family. But oftentimes when family comes together, all the old stuff surfaces. We have to avoid that topic because it'll explode or something. And all the stuff is there. But this is a season of peace and reconciliation, huh? This is a season when the love of God incarnate in Jesus Christ is available very deeply and powerfully within our hearts to help us to change so we can love as we have not loved before, by his grace. And look at how he has come. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He could have had a palace. He could have had an army. He could have had a huge throne, like kings of our age have. But he came locked out from the inn because there was no room in the inn, identifying with the homeless and the stranger, the refugee. And he ended up being born in a stable, a place for animals, not an aseptic, sterile hospital like you'd think from middle age people would want to have. But no. There he is in a stable. And laid in a manger, which is a feeding trough for animals. What is God saying to us? You see, you think of all those world religions I mentioned, Go through them all. Go through the Greek gods, all the man-made gods. Go through the Roman gods. Go through the gods of Mesopotamia that we read about in the Bible. Go through all the tribal gods, the various sort of deities that have been projected out of the human quest for God. And every one of them. They've got great qualities, but there's one quality missing. Humility. Only the true God reveals himself as humble. Now, he can't not be big, but he forsakes his identification with the divine to become one with us in our humanity. He makes himself little for our sake. And so this humility of God that we find in the Son of God made flesh, that took him even further to being put to death as a criminal on the cross, this is our saving God. Because you see, the fundamental sin of humanity is pride. And the fundamental definition of Satan is pride, consummate pride. What we find, all that overcome by Jesus, who says, "Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble of heart." Our own hearts can change as we embrace him. So not only will we have the love that he's come to bring into the world, but we'll also have the humility. With love and humility in our lives, then the world will change. We'll have the impact that we're meant to have with people around us, as he has had so powerfully. So let's turn to Jesus, our Savior, our humble God. Let's turn to Jesus, love incarnate, and open ourselves to him. There's something more I want to say. One further point. We notice that God did not stay up there, distant, foreign, looking down upon us maybe with sort of a benign smile upon the world, but not getting involved in our dirtiness, not getting involved in our slush, but staying apart in some sterile place in heaven. No, he became one with us in our struggle, in our pain, in our deepest, darkest moments. He entered into the depth of our humanity for our sake. He assumed all of it except sin, because he's sinless. But he assumed the rest of it. And when I think of Jesus in the crib, I don't necessarily always think of a joyful, gurgling little baby. I think of a baby crying. You see, God cried. God weeps. And as we see Jesus in growing into manhood, he wept, you know, over the death of his friend Lazarus. And he wept as he looked out over Jerusalem and how he longed to gather the people to himself and to the love of God. He wept. Jesus entered into our suffering. And so he's turned suffering, which was previously chaotic and meaningless, into a means by which we can gain deep hope. Now, there's a beautiful story of John Vanier, who sort of started the L'Arche movement. And he came to one of the houses where mentally challenged young people were living together with helpers. And one of these young fellows, about 14, he'd been autistic and never spoken in his life. And so it was a terrible sort of thing. And also, now he was experiencing a lack of continence. So he was he was incontinent. When John arrived at the place, he just had another moment where he'd lost it. And the pee was all over the floor, you know. He was sitting there in it, wailing. And the helper was trying to sort of encourage him, but sort of at the same time berating him for his the mess that he's creating. And he's got to get his act together. And John, just in a moment of inspiration, walked over and he sat down in the boy's mess with him. And he put his arm around him. He said, "It's okay." And for the first time, the boy spoke. He called John by name. The power of love releases, huh? And the love of God that we celebrate today is not a distant love, but it's a love that's right in there with us in our mess, in our struggle, in our pain. There's not anyone here who doesn't have one area of your life at least, and some have many, of course, like me, where there's pain and struggle, where there's temptation, where there's doubt, where there's difficulty of faith, where there's all sorts of struggles within us, and where there's calamities that have happened that we can't sort of understand and we're crying out, why? God is with us. We proclaim today that God is very near and he's in the midst of our deepest struggle. He's with us. Now recently, Pope Benedict had a sort of a electronic connection around the world with a number of young people, and he was speaking to them. I think it was through Facebook or one of those sort of means. I'm not that familiar with those things. And they were asking him questions. And one of the questioners was from Japan. It was just after the tsunami had taken place. And this young girl asked him, "Holy Father, why? Why is it that our family has had to suffer so much? Why is it that we had to go through this awful tragedy? Why, when I go outside now, I can't go to the normal places I used to go because they've all been destroyed?" And the Pope had a beautiful answer. It's the answer of Christmas. He said, "I cannot give you an explanation to the reason why these things have happened to you. But I can assure you, from all of my pastoral experience, the many years as a priest, I can assure you, and from the proclamation of my faith, I assure you that God is very near to you, that he is with you in your suffering. And I can proclaim to you, because of Jesus and what he has done for us, that he is suffering with you. And so I say to you, take courage, because God is with you, and also I am with you. And I will pray for you and support you in my prayer." It was a beautiful answer. And it's what we proclaim at Christmas, because we know that God has not remained aloof. God has not remained distant from our suffering, but he's come to share our human lot. He's come to share in the weakness of our humanity. He knows us from inside, not just from outside as our creator, but he knows us from inside as the incarnate Son of God, who's entered into all of the struggle and all of the pain. And because he has gone to the cross for our sake and is now lifted up, we too can be lifted up. He's come to lift us up and to share in his glory. And bless his name.